The first comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. This is page 1597 in the Bible in front of you if you want to follow along. This is early in Jesus' ministry before he had, as he was beginning to call his disciples to follow him. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. And there he sat and let down, and there he sat and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking to Simon, he said, "Put out into the deep water and let your nets down for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we have worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken, and so were James and John, the son of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." So they pulled the boats up on the shore, left everything, and followed him. The second scripture reading comes from the Gospel of John. This is chapter 21, verses 15 through 17, page 1688 in the Bible. This is actually the same story told at a different time in Jesus' ministry. This is about the last chapter in the Gospel of John. This is one of the times Jesus appeared to his disciples before, after he was resurrected, but before he ascended. So in that story, the disciples are coming in and they're in their two boats, and Jesus is on the shore, but they don't know who he is. And he calls out to them. He says, "You haven't caught any fish all night, have you?" And they wonder how he could know that. But they say, "No, we haven't." So Jesus says to them, "Well, cast your net over the right side of the boat and watch what happens." So they do that, wondering why they're doing it. But as soon as their net's at the water, they fill up with fish. And it takes all the men in both boats to get the fish into the boat that Simon was in. 153 large fish, John says. They finally get to shore and they find Jesus cooking breakfast for them over coals and on the beach. He has some fish and some bread that he's cooking for their breakfast. After they finish eating, that's what happens. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." This ends our scripture readings for this Sunday morning. God is speaking to us through these words. When God speaks, the words are always true. We should always listen. Would you pray with me, please? May the words that I speak and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. May all that we do be done by your Spirit, in your name, and to your glory. Amen. Both of the scripture passages I just read are known as call stories. These stories are found all through the Bible. They are accounts of God in the Old Testament or Jesus in the New Testament offering to upend and entirely disrupt the lives and futures of a person or often of a group of people by inviting them to try something entirely different. If Jesus calls, and when we respond as his disciples did with a yes, we can be sure that our life is going to be almost nothing like our past life. Future will be very different from what our past has been. The possibility of this new future will seem as mysterious to us as that impossibly large catch of fish must have seemed to the fishermen who were soon to become Jesus' disciples. And once they haul this massive load of fish to shore, Jesus says something to them, something like, "You think catching a boatload of fish is something special? Well, just you wait. Follow me, and I will show you things you never could have imagined. I will send you places you never in your wildest dreams could have thought you would go." So the real mystery in my mind is that they pull the boats up on the shore, leave everything, and follow him. "You have come down to the lakeshore, seeking neither the wise nor the wealthy, but only asking for me to follow. For as long as I've known this song, I have really enjoyed singing it. But it was just in this past week, as I was thinking about this, that I began to notice some things in the song I hadn't noticed before. Two things in particular. First, how this song is really a musical retelling of Jesus' call to his first disciples. This unanticipated call that would upend and redirect their lives for the rest of their life. And second, I realized how much this song illustrates Jesus' call, not just to these disciples, but to the church, to all of us, to the body of Christ here in Mesomene, but also to everyone else too. "You have come down to the lakeshore, seeking neither the wise nor the wealthy." Brothers and sisters, St. Paul wrote to his church in Corinth, "Think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. Our size and our strength, our wisdom and our health and our wealth, you see, are not relevant to our calling. Jesus doesn't ask for our strength or our wisdom. They would be anyway inadequate for the task at best, and more likely a real impediment to our calling. He only asks that we follow, that we pay attention to the things and the people that he cares about, that we attend in any way we can to our neighbors who are poor, to the oppressed and the mistreated, to the hungry and the lonely, because that's what he did. He asked us to walk through our world today reflecting with each step his way of being in the world when he was here. And he calls us to this in the gentlest way possible. Oh, Jesus, you have looked into my eyes. Kindly smiling, you call up my name. On the sand, I've abandoned my small boat. Now with you, I will seek other seas." He looks, he smiles, he calls us by name and calls us into a new world, a world richer, more expansive, more inclusive, more mysterious than we could ever have imagined on our own. Jesus knows our names, remembers our faces, and loves us more than we could ever imagine, even though, and maybe because, he knows exactly what he's getting when he calls us. "You know full well what I have, Lord, neither treasure nor weapons for conquest, but just these my fishnets and my will for working." It's true that we don't bring a lot when we answer this call. But it is also true, and that bringing, when we bring our whole selves, we bring enough. Because we don't come as the people we think we should be, or even as the people we might one day become. We come exactly as we are, bringing the little that we have and promising, because every response to the call of Jesus includes a promise, promising to live and work together in the way of Jesus. And that, my friends, is enough. On the sand, I've abandoned my small boat. Now with you, I will seek other seas. We leave our rickety, probably leaky little boat on the shore of a small lake and head off to explore the wide, mysterious sea of a whole new life. You need my hands, my exhaustion, working for love for the rest of the weary, a love that's willing to go on loving. There's a poem you have probably heard, written by St. Teresa of Avila some 700 years ago. It goes something like this, and it says something very similar to what both these call stories and the song says. St. Teresa wrote, "Christ has no body but yours, no hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes with which he looks compassion on the world. Yours are the feet with which he walks to do good. Yours are the hand with which he blesses all the world. Yours are the hands. Yours are the feet. Yours are the eyes. You are his body. Christ has no body now but yours. No hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes with which he looks compassion on the world. Christ has no body now on earth but yours." Ours are the eyes with which Christ looks compassion on the world. Ours is the love that goes on loving, because it is precisely the love of Christ. And Christ is incapable of not loving. "Love one another," St. John wrote, "because love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love, only love, and always love." You who have fished other waters, you the longing of souls that are yearning, O loving friend, you have come to call me. God is the love that never stops loving, never stops looking through us, his hands and feet and heart on earth, looking for those who are yearning, for those who are hurting, for those who are hungry. Always looking, always calling, always welcoming. Oh Jesus, you have looked into my eyes. Kindly smiling, you call out my name. On the sand, I have abandoned my small boat. Now with you, I will seek other seas. Amen.